Neil Young and Crazy Horse. I want to live with the cinnamon. Love Earth Tour. July 29th, Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater. A rare opportunity to see Neil Young and Crazy Horse live. Always in high fidelity. On sale now at Ticketmaster. More information at neilyoungarchives.com.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
it's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse on this very soggy Saturday morning, Ton. People are thinking, not going to be doing much gardening today.
No, but there are things that can be done, such as sleeping, reading a book.
Apparently, a lot of people are excited about the Japanese festival that's
yes.
going on in downtown Salt Lake City this afternoon or this morning. I don't think it's open yet, but people have definitely already started parking across the street.
I pulled into the studio around 7:20, and it was almost like it was afternoon on a Friday. It was very busy.
Yeah, I think if the rain stops a little bit, it sounds like a good lunch for me this morning. This morning, the plant of the week, the Oregon grape. And the reason it's the plant of the week is I was wandering, I shouldn't say wandering on the U campus this week because there was no wandering on the last week of classes, but I saw these beautiful plants, evergreen plants with beautiful yellow flowers, and I'm like, I think that should be the plant of the week. And you're telling me you actually like the Oregon grape, so it wasn't a bad idea.
No, I don't think we've ever actually had Oregon grape as the plant of the week either. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, it's native to, depending on the species that you grow in our local landscapes, there's two. And one of them is called creeping Oregon grape, and it's native. If you walked up the hillside under the oaks, you would find it probably within 5 minutes from the U campus. And we use it as a ground cover in shaded areas, and it's used in waterwise landscaping quite frequently. And it will spread out, one plant will spread 2 to 3 feet over time, but it gets anywhere from 6 inches to 18 inches tall, depending on the strain. And then it, in the spring, the ground cover form has those same yellow flowers that you saw on the larger shrub.
Yeah, I like what you said, shade, though. There are very few things that do well in the shade, so that's good to know.
Yes, and so both species are evergreen, and they're broadleafed. And the Oregon grape or Oregon grape holly are the names for it, and it's not really related to either grapes or holly, but the leaves look somewhat like a holly plant.
Are they as prickly as a holly
plant?
No,
they're not.
Okay,
they're some species that we don't commonly grow have very prickly leaves. We have one native to southern Utah that looks a lot like holly. The leaves are very sharp, but the two that we grow, a little scratchy, but nothing more.
The other thing I really like that you said is water-wise, even though today it doesn't seem like we need to worry about
No, the two species are used in water-wise landscapes in shady situations. Now, the larger Oregon grape holly shrub will reach, depending on what cultivar variety you're growing, anywhere from 3 to 6 feet to maybe 8 or 9 if they're really old and untrimmed.
Well, these were that I saw were probably, I don't know, about 4 or 5 feet.
Yeah, and so they probably were true Oregon grape, but I imagine that they're hedged once a year at least.
Sure, yes.
There is a variety that's called Compacta, and it's just called compact Oregon grape, and it gets 3 to 4 feet tall. And so this is the one that if you plant the bush form that most people will grow because it is less likely to get out of hand in your yard. And in the winter, the leaves don't stay green. They turn kind of a plum purple.
Ooh.
And they will stay that color until we start warming up in the spring, and then they turn back to the normal green. There is a cultivar out that the new growth is very red, and then it turns to a green, and so that one's gained a little bit of popularity too.
Okay, I've seen them mostly in shady areas, but they still need sunlight. How much sunlight do they need?
East exposure is perfect for them.
They're on the east side. Okay.
If even on a north exposure here locally, they seem to be happy as long as it's not super deep shade. And so if you have spruce trees plus a north exposure, that's a no-no. It's a north exposure, they seem to do okay, because where they're native in the Pacific Northwest, the Idaho Panhandle, British Columbia, those areas, they still are an understory shrub growing in the shade of trees.
Okay. What kind of soil do they want?
Average soil. They do fine here in Utah. They tolerate our alkaline soils just fine. They won't tolerate a real swampy soil or a real salty soil.
So the larger varieties, though, they tend to need more care, trimming, that kind of thing?
Just because they're larger, if you want to avoid a lot of it, just the compact Oregon grape, which isn't the creeping one. Don't get this too confused. The compact Oregon grape is readily available, and as it grows a little more slowly, and it will require less maintenance than just the regular shrub.
And they are beautiful in bloom right now.
They are. They're super beautiful. And then just some uses. Native Americans used the berries on it. They have a large seed, but they have a kind of a tart flavor to them. And I've read that they were mixed with pemmican or used for flavoring other things. And so there are some medicinal uses out there. I'm not recommending any of them. I don't know how to prepare them. I'm not an herbologist or a doctor. But historically, they were used medicinally also.
Okay.
One last caution. Not that you would eat a lot of these, but they do contain a compound called berberine. And it is one that, if you're pregnant, can cause some problems. And so if you're into herbal medicine, don't consume them if you're pregnant or nursing. It's interesting too that the barberries, I don't know if you're familiar with the barberries, the red leaf shrubs that have the thorns on them. The Oregon grapes are very closely related. They look totally different.
Without the thorns.
Yes. But genetically, they're closely enough related. They're in the same genus. And so when you read about these, if you get online and the more technical manuals and websites, even Wikipedia, lists them as berberis instead of Mahonia. But in the nursery industry, they're just kind of like, man, leave us alone. We're going to call it Mahonia. So
all right,
just real interesting plants. There's a whole bunch of species native to different areas of the Northern Hemisphere, and a lot of them are actually not cold hardy here, but there's just some fascinating looking species out there that it's a group of plants that have always fascinated me.
All right. And this morning, the plant of the week, the Oregon grape. You can find out more about it and an article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We're going to take a break, come back with your calls and your questions. Phone lines are open on this rainy morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
American Stone can supply you with everything you need to turn any yard into a personal oasis. From retaining walls to pavers, fire pits to water features, they're way more than flagstone. Watch for their upcoming Memorial Day sale. Details at American-Stone.com.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction, and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls. Phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. Let's go to our text line, Ton. We have a couple of texts this morning. The first one, this person says they have those purple ball flowers. They think they're called alliums. They have taken over their flower bed. They're wondering if they should get rid of them or how do they control them?
Well, if they're the purple ball flowers, they could be alliums, but alliums don't generally do that. And just to be sure that's what they have, I would look up grape hyacinth because those do take over.
Okay, but they're little.
They are.
The alliums have this huge ball on there.
Yeah, and there are ornamental alliums that are a lot smaller than the great big ones we're more accustomed to seeing. And so I just, if they're blooming now also, alliums are later. And so I think more context would be useful, but there are some herbicides that will get rid of alliums if you needed to go that route. But look up grape hyacinth and make sure that it is not that.
Couldn't you just dig them up?
You can. It's been a while, but we've discussed Star of Bethlehem in the past, which is a very invasive bulb species. And as a teenager, there was an older person in her neighborhood that I did her gardening or mowing and weeding and stuff. And she would go out in her garden with the Star of Bethlehem with a screen like you'd use for gold digging or something, you know, if you're mining. Mm-hmm. And she'd use one of those screens and put the soil in it and shake the dirt through to screen all the bulbs out. Now, this isn't Star of Bethlehem, and you probably don't need to resort to that, but there are some invasive bulbs out there, and I guess in certain situations, the alliums could spread. The other things I would, and it would just, we'd need to see pictures, but making sure they're not scallions or leeks, because those do spread profusely. And even, there's a few others, but the ornamental ones I've not really seen get out of hand.
Hmm.
Although
I
suspect they
them.
Could.
I think I planted one, and I think maybe there are two after maybe 10 years in the garden. So I've not seen that they get crazy.
And that's why I'm wondering if it's blooming now, maybe grape hyacinth or maybe one of the edible forms of allium, because allium's a big genus of both mostly edible but ornamental things. And then we do have some wild onions and wild garlic, but they are not ornamental, and they usually invade areas where it's really swampy,
okay,
like wet.
So if they are grape hyacinth, how do they get rid of
them?
Dig them. But it's so hard because they put off these little teeny little bulbs.
And so,
that's why the strainer thing came out.
The other, and I don't know how practical, you can cut the tops off with some scissors or a string trimmer about halfway, and then immediately spray them with Roundup and see if that helps.
What if they're in your lawn?
Mow them. There's really nothing you can
do. You can't ignore them, Ton. If you ignore them, there'll just be millions in the
lawn. I know. If you thicken your lawn up, they won't compete very well.
Okay. That's a good thought. Next listener is wondering, they put down GrubX on Wednesday in this big storm. They're wondering if it's too much. Will it dilute the GrubX too much?
No, that GrubX will stay in the soil for between 4 and 6 months. It's fine.
I think a lot of people are worried about things that they've done, and now all of this rain is coming down.
Yes. And it's pre-emergent has to have rain to actually become active in the soil. And a lot of our grub control products also need moisture. So it's just a blessed event, and we're good, and just relax, read a book, enjoy the rain. And
but Saturday afternoon is the only time many of us have to get out in the yard.
Yeah, and I think this is supposed to be ending by this afternoon, or at least a reduced chance. But
we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yes.
Next listener says, what is the best way to get rid of grass that is spread under the cement borders and encroached into the planter beds?
Hand pull it. If it's Kentucky bluegrass, the sprays are marginally effective. But if there's not anything desirable, they could just use something like Roundup. But those cement borders, the grass, Kentucky bluegrass just laughs at it.
Right, because it really needs to be, what, you've said, like 6 inches deep?
At least 6 inches, preferably
a foot.
And
they're only, what, 4 inches deep,
at best,
maybe?
At best.
So, yeah, that is a problem. Next person would like to know, how often, how much triple 16 do they put on their burning bush plants?
They need to, when in doubt, set your fertilizer spreader for the lawn setting and just spread the fertilizer from, like, 3 or 4 feet away from the shrubs, and you're pointing like a handheld fertilizer spreader, just shoot it into the shrubs and that's perfect. Otherwise, I probably about a quarter to a third of a cup if the shrubs are big per shrub spread out under the canopies. But I prefer just using a handheld fertilizer spreader and just spreading it at the recommended lawn rates.
This next listener is really testing how awake I am this morning. Let's see if I can spit out all of these names. They used isoxaban, prodiamine, and pendimethalin. Oh,
yeah, pendimethalin.
Bad eyes on their lawn. They're wondering if that will prevent almost all weeds.
Well, they kind of overdid it a bit. It won't hurt anything. The isoxaban only needed to be used with either prodiamine or pendimethalin. But yeah, it'll prevent a lot of weeds. And I wouldn't do any more because you get too much of that and it starts to act a little bit like a ground sterilant. And so I would just leave it be. You haven't hurt anything, but seeds won't germinate through that. And so they've picked their route as far as weed control for the lawn, and it'll take anywhere from 60 days to a full year for a lot of that stuff to dissipate, depending on the rate they applied and the particular product. But I would say Tranquilo. I don't know what they're going after, but they really went for it.
They did. And they really tested me this morning as well. I didn't do that well. Next sister wants to know, they want to plant tulip bulbs in a narrow southeast-facing strip. They're not doing it now yet, Ton. But they want to know what perennials they can plant in that area now.
Oh,
probably almost anything, right?
Almost anything that's available.
Work around the perennials.
Yeah, and in your availability of perennials from the garden center is seasonal. And so they're, as they choose perennials, just remember to not overdo it in the spring and make 5 or 6 trips throughout the season at least, because if they want summer and fall blooming stuff, you've got to get those in the summer and late summer into early fall.
Okay. The next listener wants to know, do you recommend planting tomatoes today?
I mean, if you want to go get wet, that's all good.
The temperatures are still okay, aren't they?
They're fine, but the tomatoes just sit. If you wanted to go get your tomatoes, that would be fabulous. But wait for a 70-degree day.
All right. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can text us, 57500.
American Stone can supply you with everything you need to turn any yard into a personal oasis. From retaining walls to pavers, fire pits to water features, they're way more than flagstone. Watch for their upcoming Memorial Day sale. Details at American-Stone.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis joining you this morning. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Back to our callers and our questions. Next listener wanted to know, we were talking about tomatoes earlier, but this listener wants to know, does it matter if leaves on tomatoes need to be pinched off when you plant them deep? We talked about that a lot last week.
Yes, they should pinch the leaves off if they're planting them more
deeply. And that doesn't
hurt
them.
No. Where you pinch that off, actually there's what's called a latent or a dormant bud that then will form roots. And so, yeah, I would pinch them off.
Next listener says they have a pine tree and the arborist told them it's a jack pine that apparently has bark, beetle, and scale. And they're wondering if there's anything they can do to save the tree.
And I don't know if this is either here nor there, but it's probably not jack pine. That's a species native to the southeast.
Okay.
But there's lots of pines. At any rate, if it's got bark beetles in it, that's usually a sign that it was drought stressed. And it depends on the extent of the damage. If the tree's half dead, it may just be better to take it down. But if it's only just the top of the pine, you may be able to get rid of it. It should have been sprayed 6 weeks ago with a permethrin spray, and you would spray the entire trunk and the limbs. You usually only need to do that once a year. But it just depends.
Can they still do it?
Nah, what you're trying to do is the bark beetles move around the first 50 degree days in the spring or late winter. And what you're trying to do is get that spray on there before they move and land on your pine tree and start to get under the bark. And they're called engraver beetles or bark beetles because they eat the conductive tissue just under the bark. And so spraying right now, he's probably missed the opportunity, that window that you would spray. And so at this point, you don't want to overwater the tree. But the tree needs to be deep watered. If it's in the lawn, I would supplement water once or twice a month, but it doesn't sound like it is. but I would deep water it at least every 10 days to a depth of 18 inches.
Steve is on the line in Orem. Good morning, Steve. What was your question this morning?
Yes, I have two. One, is there anything you can do with weeding or grassing the flower bed? Because grass is coming up and it's pretty hard to pull each one of those pieces of grass without killing the lawn. And then the other one, orchard grass still is a problem. I just need to cut that out, I would assume.
Well, where's the orchard grass at?
Well, it's about three or four different locations in the front lawn.
You could, instead of just getting a shovel, because it has roots that extend beyond where the above ground parts are, you may consider killing that out with a Roundup if you're going to dig it up anyway, and then just go get some pieces of sod and put back into those locations. In your flower bed, if you were to clean the grass out, and then does it have a cement border, or what's the border situation between the flower bed and
the
lawn?
Yes, I do have a cement border and also the edge of the house.
On the other side of the cement, the grass side of the cement border, you would have to get some cardboard or something so that you could get a solid edge, but you can use Roundup or dig it. But if you have 2 or 3 inches of bare ground between the border and the lawn, and you go out once every month or 6 weeks and re-spray it or just re-dig it a little bit with a spade, that will keep the grass from ever moving back into the flower bed. But you need that 2 to 3 inch dead zone past the border that the grass is killed so it doesn't grow through.
And then what about the grass that's already there? Do I just have to pull that? I mean,
it depends. If there's desirable plants in there and it's going to be hard to use an herbicide, your option is to dig it up.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve, for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says that we talked pretty highly of petunias, but for some reason the bugs eat theirs. Any advice?
When they're talking the bugs, and there's a few that get on there, the most common one is tobacco budworm. And there's a few different products you can use. The most common is Thuricide, and that is organic. It has a derivative of a bacteria in it that gets into the little budworm's guts and stops them from feeding, and they eventually just die. And so if you've grown petunias a long time, you know when they start to get damaged. And just ahead of time, you might start some preventative sprays with Thuricide to see if you can keep the bugs in check.
Okay. Next question. They were going to buy some black bark for one of their flower beds. Is that good for their garden or not?
It's fine. They use a safe, degradable dye in the bark. And I can't imagine a company using something that's not compatible with your garden and soil. Now, there are going to be some purists or fundamentalists saying, oh, never do that, never do that. But yes, they are using something that is going to be safe for your flower beds.
Is it silly for me to ask, won't it be really super hot? Doesn't it?
It will heat up a little more, but the black color, no, it won't heat up enough to harm the plants.
Next listener says they're interested in getting some blue arrow junipers. Do those need to be tied in the fall? And if so, are there any alternatives? They all need to be tied, don't they?
They all need to be tied. It doesn't matter if you're doing Arborvita, Skyrocket.
I just planted 14 of them, so yeah. I'm going to be tying a lot. You know,
Taylor, Blue Arrow, all of them will need to be wrapped to prevent the snow from splitting them out.
So they're not. Is there anything else I can plant other than a juniper that looks like a juniper?
No.
You like the junipers?
There is a narrow Arizona cypress, but it's going to need to be wrapped too.
Okay. Is a Hoya, do you know what a Hoya is?
A house plant.
It is a house plant. Okay. This person says for 40 years, their mother cared for their grandmother's Hoya. They don't know how to feed and water it, so they killed it. It bloomed only once in all the years that they knew it. They're thinking about buying a Hoya. What sort of watering schedule or fertilizer does it need? They want to try again, basically. How can they be successful next time they buy a Hoya?
Let it dry out between irrigations and through the bloom period, because it taxes the plant. Use Miracle-Gro regularly or another houseplant fertilizer. But otherwise, you don't need to do a lot with them. And for someone to have kept a Hoya alive that long, they were talented gardeners, because it's not the easiest thing to keep alive. And just maybe for some consolation, if that Hoya was 40 years old, it could have been just time for it to move on to its next step in its journey of life.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it's up there with Dumbledore and the great beyond and happy. And so it may not have been them.
Okay. We're going to take a break. Come back with more of your calls and questions. Phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
American Stone can supply you with everything you need to turn any yard into a personal oasis. From retaining walls to pavers, fire pits to water features, they're way more than flagstone. Watch for their upcoming Memorial Day sale. Details at American-Stone.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Number to call with your questions, and the phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can text your questions at 57500. Next listener, Ton, says their grapes have had leaf miners for the last 2 years. Is there a way to prevent that? They tried neem oil, but it just doesn't seem to help.
Well, because the leaf miners are inside the leaves, no, that it wouldn't. You could try to prevent something, but you would have to spray something like permethrin that would last for several days and maybe reapply a few times. I've never seen grapes with leaf miners. I mean, it very well could happen, but you have to prevent them from getting inside unless you use a systemic. And if you use a systemic, you may not be able to eat the grapes, depending on the particular one and if you can find one labeled.
Okay. I was talking to you. We've talked a lot about planting trees because I'm planting trees and other folks are planting trees. Great time to do that for sure. But my perfectionistic nature is really kind of kicking in here. And some of the trees just aren't perfectly straight up and down. And it's been really tough to stake them. So first of all, let's talk about staking trees and easier ways, things that you've found to get the stakes in the ground.
Well, a lot of folks live in areas with rocky soil. And you are left because, you know, we talked about the bull boggers. And those are wonderful.
I've used
except
those.
For when you have really rocky soil. And then they get hung up and the drill flies out of your hand and
I've heard your arm
off. Yeah, maybe break your wrist. And so you need to be super careful. And so what I've had to resort to, especially in the middle of the summer when the soil is not moist, is going out where I need my stake and just getting a pick and a shovel and digging a hole wider than I need, about 6 inches deep, and then filling it with water and letting it sit for a day to 2 days. Then I can go out and the soil is easier to remove. And if you've done it wide enough, you can get the rocks out. Now, if my soil, I have rocks up to between 4 and 6 inches wide are the biggest ones. And that's manageable enough that I can clean out around the rock and lift it out of the soil. But it may take me not all day long, but the preparation, because if I can't go deep enough, I might have to put more water in the hole and let it soak through so I can go deeper. But if I need a 2 foot deep hole for a post, that's what I do. And then once I get the post in there, I have my kid hold it in the position I need it. And then I put the soil back in. I don't put the rocks back in, but I'll put the soil back around it. And as the soil settles, it will hold that stake in place after a couple of weeks really well.
Mm-hmm. So once we get the stakes in, and if you have a super tall tree and the very top of the tree still isn't as straight as you'd like, I mean, how perfectionistic? What happens to the tree after you stake it? Most of the trunk is completely straight, but maybe you have a tall section that is not.
As the tree leaves out, that will be somewhat obscured as it grows, because it will want to grow straight up. And as the canopy expands, it may not be perfectly uniform, but it becomes more obscured over a number of years. But right now, because the trunk's still really flexible at the top of the tree, there's potential for getting more twine and tying it into the upper canopy on the trunk and then pulling it back the direction you need it and putting a stake in the ground and leaving that for 1 year.
Okay. Next listener wants to know, is it too early to plant roses?
No, it's not. I don't see any frost in the forecast. We're getting into May, and many garden centers are receiving roses either this week or over the next few. And so I would go ahead and get the roses you need, because by mid to late June, they will be sold out.
And right now, it's safe to plant perennials. You don't have to worry about those. It's the annuals that you need to be concerned about.
And even the annuals, if we're not going to get below freezing, you can go ahead and put them in. You know, we run the risk, like this storm we've had, that the 7-day forecast will say 45, 50 at night every day. And all of a sudden, 2 days before, you know, like on the 5th day of the forecast, you get a couple days and it says 90% rain plus 28 degrees. And so that's the risk we run. And it diminishes the closer to mid-May that we get.
Yeah, it's really a tough one, because you want to plant early. The roots take hold better. Your plants flourish more. But then you run the risk of hail or freezing temperatures. You may have to cover them, that kind of thing.
You do. And if you look at the 7- and 10-day forecasts, I think we're safe, but I'm not going to tell anybody to plant right now as far as annuals or tomatoes.
Usually wait
till
Mother's Day and a lot of things, right? Next listener wants to know, they think a big elm tree is affecting their foundation. Once they get rid of the tree, do they have to do anything else in order for the roots to die, or are those roots still going to impact the foundation?
Those elm trees will be a menace for years to come. They will keep trying to grow back, and the roots will
sucker everywhere.
I'm certain
that's the answer they didn't want to hear.
They are, especially if it's Siberian elm, they are a menace. And so it's not the right time of year, but what they could try doing is going in with a drill and a half-inch paddle bit or something similarly sized and drilling into the trunk, you know, 2 or 3 feet up on a 45-degree angle, about 3 inches, 2 inches into the trunk. And the reason they go on an angle is they're going to get some concentrated lawn weed killer or glyphosate and pour the concentrate in every hole they've drilled, and they want to do it as soon as they finished a hole. So you've got one person drilling, another person with appropriate safety equipment on, rubber, you know, the chemical resistant rubber gloves and things like that, and fill up every hole. And they may need to get a sacrificial funnel that they throw away when they're done, but you fill those holes up with the herbicide and then just see what happens.
And they do that before they take the tree
a month or two before, because that's going to take a while and they may need to redo it. The best time to do this is in the fall. And so if they can't wait, I would do this 2 or 3 weeks ahead, cut the tree down, and paint the tree with the same concentrated Roundup when they cut it down.
All right. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. More of the greenhouse straight ahead.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big.